I saw his jealousy as it made me actually feel good, because you know, to me it was proof that he loved me. You know, and when you're young, you look at things that way. Of course, you know, in a relationship today, that would be the first thing that would make me run the other way.
Did he have a lot of flash and cash? He liked to show you the glamour and all this?
Oh, yes. He was very charming. He was very good-looking. Every woman that used to walk into that club was vying for his attention constantly, and it sort of made me feel good that I was on his arm when, you know, there were all of these women who wanted him.
So you two get married. Those are the first abusive events. That's when they happen. Was it just all of a sudden one day he's this, the next day all of a sudden you're on the floor, or was it something gradual that just started to build from that point?
No, it was gradual. I was modeling back then, and this was in Rochester, New York, the home of Kodak, and I worked all the time, and the jobs would sometimes take me to Buffalo or Syracuse or Toronto or, you know, in the surrounding areas, which you could drive to in an hour and a half. Well, it started where I couldn't work out of town, 60 miles away, you know? and I started caving into his request. And then he started telling me who I could hang around with, who I could talk to. He started limiting my friends, and then it became my family, and before I knew it, I was cut off from everyone. And basically, you know, they would see what he was doing, and they would, you know, try to talk to me. And of course, as soon as somebody tried to clue me in on who he was and what he was doing to me, they became, you know, off limits to me. So, it did happen over time, and it's a whole brainwashing thing. That happens.
Well, you compare it to what happened to Patty Hearst.
Absolutely. You know, that was happening. When this was happening to me, that was going on. And I remember people saying, oh, God, she's with them. And, you know, they were putting all the blame on her. And it turned out that what was going on with me, I totally understood what was happening to her. It's that syndrome where you fall in love with your captor because they're allowing you to live. And, you know, he did things to me like that. When I tried to leave him, he put a gun to my head, had one bullet in it, played Russian roulette. And the fear that, you know, you want to live and you will say and do anything to live. And then you're so grateful that your life was spared, that you loved them for letting you live. It's really a strange thing that happened.
That answers a question, I think, and you probably lost count the number of times you've been asked it. Well, why don't you just leave?
Yeah.
You feel that if I take that step, that's a minefield out there. I'll blow up.
That's right. It's a very scary thing. And with me, it wasn't a problem of no money, because I was working all the time. But there are so many women out there that they have children, they have no means of any kind of an income, and it's very scary for them to take that step and not have anywhere to go, and, you know, they have children, and it's very, very scary. I mean, when I finally took that step, it was really my daughter that encouraged me to do that, because I probably would have still been there if it had not been for her. But one day I saw the look in her eyes. I saw the sorrow in her little heart that was the same thing that I was feeling, but I never saw it in her. When I saw it in her is what gave me the courage to leave.
You point out, too, that we always think of abuse in a physical manner in relationships. Verbal abuse can be just as deadly, can it?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that the verbal abuse is really what breaks you down, and it gives you no confidence in yourself. I mean, here I was, Chris. I was appearing on covers of magazines, and he was telling me on a daily basis how ugly I was and who's going to want you, especially with a kid, you know? And you start believing that when it's pounded in your head every day and ridiculing me for all of the... If I were to suggest something, he would make me feel stupid. So I wouldn't feel like I was adequate to do anything. And that's where they get you, and that's how they keep you.
When you do make that escape and rebuilding the material stuff, you can get a job, you can get a paper route if you have to, and make money to buy the couch and the bed and everything. Isn't it tougher to rebuild emotionally? How do you learn to either trust or love people again? Because you could lose that because of an abusive situation.
You know, that's a very interesting thing. I never really got any help from a therapist about this. I had really just pushed this into the back of my mind. I started a new life, and I didn't think about it. I didn't, you know, it was my past. You know, I never talked about my past. And it really wasn't until I wrote my book, Chris, that I really figured out what had happened to me, and I really didn't start living until then. I was not open for a relationship. I found that I was pushing men out of my life, men that could have been good for me, but the terror of being controlled and dominated, I became the dominator. You know, I mean, the role got reversed because no one was ever going to put me in that position again. And that's not healthy either. But I had no idea that I was doing this. When I sat down and started writing my book, which I didn't do as a book, Joe killed himself in 1993, and I hadn't been with him for years. But all of these things started coming back. You know, a lot of the abuse, a lot of the things in that world, the beatings and the deaths and the things that I had really suppressed came back to the point that I was having nightmares. So I went to a therapist, and he suggested that I get a journal and for 20 minutes a day write whatever I felt. And I started to do that, and I would reread the pages, and I would say, oh my God, that's why I do this, or that's why I did that. And all of a sudden, things became clear to me. So that's another thing I would suggest, is to sit down and start writing about your feelings, and so many things will become clear.